Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and away they go. 12 express bus lines, 21 local bus lines, completely gone as of today. Another 65 local bus routes and 11 express bus lines being restructured, as the MTA is calling it, plus the demise of the V and the W trains, though every subway station that had service before will still have trains running today and going forward. The bus situation is much more drastic. So how did your new commute go today? Give us a call. Did you do that new route? Did you try some things out because your bus line changed or expired? Let's do some storytelling and some information sharing on what worked, what didn't work. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And another question, did you take a dollar van today for the first time in your life? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. How did it go? Andrea Bernstein, WNYC Transportation Nation Director, is here. Hi, Andrea.
Good morning, Brian.
WNYC's Matthew Sherman is out at Cadman Plaza at the moment in Brooklyn. He's been going around seeing how people are changing their routes and how it's working out. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Brian.
And listeners, again, this is mostly for you to inform each other. How did your new commute go today? And did you take a dollar van today for the first time in your life? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Matthew, where you been? What are you seeing?
What I'm seeing for the most part is people saying that they expect their commutes will take a little bit longer and be a little bit more crowded and more inconvenient today. Earlier today, I was on the M line in southern Brooklyn. That stopped local out along Utrecht Avenue, out through Borough Park to Coney Island, and that's been eliminated. And the D service, which had been sharing that track, is now the only train there. So that means that the trains will be twice as crowded. People will have to wait twice as long for those trains. The other thing that I'm seeing is confused people, especially those who do not know English. One woman on that platform at 50th Street who I saw did not board a D train and did not board the next D train. And I went over and asked her, you know, are you waiting for the M train? And she said yes, she was going to take it into Park Slope. And she didn't know until I told her that that the M train was no longer running.
Michael in Forest Hills posted a eulogy for the V train on our site. He wrote, "It never had a song written about it as the A. It never seemed to leave the station if you were getting on at 2nd Avenue. It didn't run express in Queens like the E. It didn't take you to Brooklyn like the F. It didn't run after 8 p.m. or at all on weekends. The V for Victory was sort of a joke, and yet it will be missed." Andrea, here we are.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's true. Yesterday, I happened to be on Union Street in Brooklyn, which is the line of the B-71, and it is a jolt. You know, the B-71 is a line that went from Carroll Gardens up to basically Grand Army Plaza, the Brooklyn Public Library. A lot of senior citizens rode it, and a lot of people sort of going from one part of Brownstone, Brooklyn, to another. And it was a jolt to see cars parked in the bus stop, legally, in front of the signs that said, this is no longer a bus stop, even though those buses came very infrequently and were sparsely ridden compared to some of the other bus lines. And I think that that experience is being repeated all over the city today.
I guess so.
Right. Actually, Brian, I was also at the B-71, stopped off very briefly this morning to ask people who were waiting on the benches, what are you waiting for? And one of them was a nanny who commutes in from Bensonhurst and said that she knew the B-71 wasn't running anymore, but she was going to be picked up by her employer. She actually joked, you know, usually when I come here, people complain about B-71 service anyway. So she had another way to get to work. She wasn't missing it all that much.
I think that sounds like it's a common refrain. We hated it, but we miss it.
And Andrea, where do the dollar vans come in? And I should say that's what they're casually known as, but they are actually $2 a ride, right?
Well, the official city program whereby the dollar vans are going to be allowed to ride along the city routes, which is not something that they've been previously allowed to do, has actually not gone into effect because they're still working out agreements with the operators. They're still working out licensing and enforcement. So they will be announcing sometime in the coming weeks where those legal dollar vans will be going. However, our reporter Lisa Chow last week was speaking to a lot of operators of dollar vans, and they said that they were already out checking out the new routes. And although it's not officially sanctioned by the city, you may see them along some of these bus routes that are being cut.
This morning, Brian, I did see along the B-23, which goes on Fortelieu Road and 16th Avenue in from Flatbush to Borough Park, I saw dollar vans. I saw on the former B-23 bus stops signs advertising Brooklyn van service. And I did chat with one of the drivers. He said he was sort of disappointed because he'd been driving since 5 o'clock in the morning, trying to take over this route, just like David Yaffe, the taxi limousine commissioner, said, had encouraged him to do, I should say, and he'd only picked up one person so far. He said that, you know, hopefully with more publicity, word will get out, more people will take his service. But so far, at least on that little route, that hasn't quite worked out as people imagined.
And B. King from Flatbush and Ditmas Park wrote about the B-23, for the past 4 years, I've anticipated the end of this line, which ran on Cortelieu Road. The B-23 buses were rarely full of passengers. It rarely stopped and waited for at least 2 minutes for potential passengers coming up from the train station. Many times I ran after the B-23, after exiting the train station with my baby stroller and bags in tow. The B-23 would stop to let someone off and immediately close its door, 1 minute flat, and I would miss the bus. I always thought it was a waste of a bus line and parking space. And she writes, now I'm looking forward to desperately needed parking space in the Flatbush Ditmas Park area that the B-23 took up. Somehow I think that's not what's coming.
The city is still sort of figuring it out, and of course those things still look like bus stops, even though they say attention, you know, all the sort of road paint has to be adjusted. Those are, you know, they're no longer bus stops. In some cases they are hydrants, in some cases there's no parking to the curb, in some cases parking will be allowed.
And on the, you know, go ahead, Matt.
I'm sorry. For the most part, I mean, what your listener wrote in reflects the fact that for the most part, the MTA really tried to focus these cuts on lesser used routes. And some of them, like the B-71 Park Slope, were so poorly used that they didn't come very frequently. And then they came less frequently because they were not used. And there was sort of a vicious cycle that eroded service more and more. But I should say that, you know, I have run into some people, a woman who used to take two local buses to get from Ditmas Park to Manhattan, because she doesn't like using the subway. She's claustrophobic. And she, in fact, still is not going to use the subway, even though she could, and it would probably be faster. She's going to take the express bus, which is going to cost her more, and she actually will have to go through a tunnel, the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, in order to get into Manhattan. And she even showed me that she was carrying medication just in case she had a claustrophobia fit while that happened. So, it's true that some of these bus lines were not very frequently used. On the other hand, the people who used them, I think, really depended on them for one reason or other.
Also joining us now, Gene Rushinoff, staff attorney for the Riders Advocacy Group, the Strap Hangers Campaign. Hi, Gene.
Good morning, Brian.
And you're also trying to keep your finger on the pulse of how the morning commute is going. I know you've got people out there sending back reports. What are you hearing?
Well, we heard a couple of things. I stress that it's very anecdotal now, like Andrea and Matthew being out there and seeing a snapshot of what's going on. You know, we definitely saw what Matthew was reporting about the M train. They've cut out about 20 trips in southern Brooklyn during the morning rush hour and not added any R or D train service, so the result is crowding, and we've heard about heavy crowding at DeKalb Avenue during the rush hour. For the bus stops, the signs are very confusing. In most places, we've heard from folks that big blue pole with the lollipop on top has the old route number. And then if you look down at the guide ride, most of them have a salmon-colored insert that says that as of June 27th, this will no longer be a bus stop. But then if you keep looking around the guide ride, you'll see a schedule for the old bus. So, you know, for people who don't know, it's going to be confusing. And then there's an Easter egg hunt aspect to it, because let's say and your reporters will know this very well, the B77 route in Brooklyn used to start at 5th Avenue and 10th Street right outside of a Rite Aid. The sign is up, and there's no old sign is up, and there's no information whatsoever to tell you how to get to the B61, which is replacing two other bus routes, the B77 and the B75. So it's up to you to know. And you know, given all the things that people have to deal with coping with life in New York, knowing where the B61 bus route is may not be on the top of the list.
I guess, but for some people who really use it, they're going to be victimized by getting there and thinking that it's going to show up, and it's not.
It's infuriating. I mean, you know, transit officials, we knew this would be an issue in advance. Transit officials, you know, they're doing this for budget reduction reasons. So, you know, besides advertising it on their website, there's been little information.
I will say that they do have a transit information number, which is 718-330-1234. And I tried that on Friday just to see what would happen. I mean, the one thing that you have to know is you have to ask for customer service when you get the voice prompts. Then when you do get somebody, you have to be pretty persistent in asking what you want. I asked on behalf of the listener who called who was blind
on Friday's show,
and you can get the information. But it took like several passes through, and are you sure, and will he have to cross any streets? And so there is a way to get it. You just have to try very hard to get it.
718-330-1234. Can people now legally park at these bus stops with the salmon-colored sign saying they're no longer bus stops? Do you know, Gene?
No, it's on our list to find out. It sounds like Andrew. It sounds like it varies from place to place depending on the signs that are up on the block.
All right, so that's something to find out. If you do park there, I would suggest take a photo of that salmon-colored sign to use in court after you
and
get
send
your
it
ticket.
To us.
I just wanted to add that, you know, I think among the really big losers here are older New Yorkers and people with disabilities. Two of the routes that are being eliminated, the B39 and the B51, are the only buses, local buses, that go from Brooklyn to Manhattan. And the MTA says rather, I think harshly in their summary that now riders can take, on the B51, can take the R train or other trains a couple of stops, and it sounds pretty easy if you're not someone who can't negotiate the stairs in the subway, and there are a lot of New Yorkers who can't.
Yeah. Gene, do you have an opinion about the dollar vans and how much they can pick up the slack? I know the Transit Workers Union says this is a backdoor way of privatizing public transportation, bus routes, and empower the entrepreneurs. Do you think that's the case?
I'm torn on this one because I don't think it was the plan all along. I think it's an attempt to try and provide service to people who don't have any service. So I can't say that, I think it's an evil thing. On the other hand, the City Department of Transportation has a poor track record of supervising mass transit services. A couple of years ago, they turned over the 7 private bus routes that they franchised to the MTA. So I'm skeptical that, people rely on the buses. The vans, it's a major change in their commuting habits, and they're very hard to regulate. So we'll have to see.
And Matthew, any van stories to report this morning?
Really just the one that I mentioned along Cortelyou Road, where there was a dollar van service operating, but he hadn't picked up. Well, I guess one passenger was all he had picked up by the point that I had spoken with. He said the problem was enough people knew that there was no bus service that they had moved to alternative bus routes, and people didn't know that there was this dollar van that was trying to take over that route. So in a way, had they planned this transition out a little bit sooner and a little bit smoother, perhaps the dollar vans really could have picked up some of the slack.
And one of the biggest deterrents to using it for most riders is that when you took a local bus and then a local subway route, you got it's the price of one ride.
Yes.
The vans are a separate additional fee, and so you know people are counting their pennies these days, and so it's a lot of change.
And Andrea, we have a minute left to tie our first two stories of the morning together as they debate the budget in Albany. Is there anything on the table for more subsidy for the MTA to either eliminate some of these cuts or to at least stave off future ones? Because the MTA isn't finished with its wave of deficits.
Well, the MTA tried to take a line in the sand on the student metro card, saying that they would charge if the state didn't cough up more money, and the state didn't. I mean, maybe the four of us had this exact same, this was predicted, these cuts. A year ago, when the state Senate did not pass the Ravitch plan, but sort of put in these piecemeal, we're going to have a taxi surcharge, and we're going to have the employer tax for the 12 counties surrounding New York, and we're going to have the rental car surcharge, and they put in this little sort of, you know, menu of fees and surcharges to save transit without having a comprehensive plan. It was predicted that it would all fall apart, and now it has, and this comes out of decades of, you know, the federal government and the city and state putting less and less into mass transit. So this should not be a shock to anybody that now transit is empty, and it's not just the poor economy that's causing it.
You can see more at WNYC.org or at TransportationNation.org. WNYC's Andrea Bernstein, the director of the Transportation Nation Project. WNYC's Matthew Sherman out at the bus stops currently in Cadman Plaza in Brooklyn. Gene Rushinoff, staff attorney with the Straphangers Campaign. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right there on WNYC. And we're going to follow up in a minute on something that came up on last week's show and ask where you're moving to if you're an artist. Can't afford Soho? Can't afford Williamsburg? Where are you moving now? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. Identify the new artist neighborhoods in greater New York. 212-433-9692.